To Washington now, where as President Trump delivered his State of the Union speech last night, a lot of lawmakers in the audience were thinking about Russia. And that's because on Tuesday, the Trump administration said it would not impose new sanctions on Russia right now in response to Russia's election meddling. Now, that shocked a lot of lawmakers because they overwhelmingly approved sanctions in July. And it was a message then that the president was going easy on Russia and that Congress was tired of it. Meanwhile, that announcement on no sanctions now against Russia came from the State Department, just as CIA Director Mike Pompeo said there's reason to expect more Russian interference in this year's midterms. Alana Shore has been following all of this. She's a congressional reporter for Politico.
Well, the bill included this deadline for the administration to decide on sanctions. It said, come 180 days, you've got to make this call, start imposing sanctions, delay, or waive them outright. And members of both parties really wanted action. They designed this bill as a response to Russian election meddling in 2016. But what happened come the Monday cutoff was the administration said, no, thank you. No sanctions at this time. The bill itself is serving as a deterrent.
So what do these sanctions do exactly?
Well, there's several layers of sanctions built into this bill. But the one where Monday was a critical deadline were sanctions in terms of entities that do business with Russia's defense and intelligence sectors. Now, that's non-Russian entities, foreign nations, foreign companies that conduct important arms and cyber deals with the Russian elements that are believed to be closely linked to election meddling. So the idea was there would be a list of these entities in line for sanctions coming out in October. That list was almost a month late, and then they'd be in line for sanctions.
But look, Alana, back in July, when these sanctions passed, at the time, even Republicans were saying behind the scenes, Bob Corker, other people, that these sanctions signified a message to the White House, to President Trump, that he wasn't taking Russian meddling and Russian interference seriously enough. He got backed into signing it. Congress thought that they had won and had forced the president to publicly take Russia seriously. How's it being perceived now that the White House is delaying and saying, no, we don't really need to do this?
Well, Democrats are aghast. I mean, I wouldn't say they're surprised, because Democrats have been convinced pretty much since this president took office that he's just too friendly towards Russia. There's something up. But this is one more piece of evidence for them. And they're pretty livid. Republicans, on the other hand, are more inclined to believe, say, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, who came to the Hill yesterday and said, oh, no, we're going to put sanctions on Russian oligarchs on a list that my department produced. It just takes some time. This was a deadline to say something. We can impose sanctions this week, next week, the week after, and we will. That was basically Mnuchin's message, and Republicans believe him.
Still, Alana, Russia hasn't been altogether thrilled this week. They don't have sanctions, but they had a couple of embarrassments nonetheless.
Absolutely. What's really an irritant to Russia, at least according to state-owned media and other folks who track the reaction there, is this list of oligarchs. Now, what that means in practice is lawmakers who wrote this bill, they wanted to name and shame officials and allies of Vladimir Putin for being closely tied to this election meddling campaign. So they required Mnuchin's department, Treasury, to produce a list of senior political figures and oligarchs. Now, Russia has been furious with this list publicly for weeks. But when the list came out, the Treasury Department acknowledged that at least the unclassified version was pretty much copied from Forbes magazine's list of richest Russians.
I'm sorry, say that again. Treasury Department's official list of Russian oligarchs was copied and pasted from Forbes?
Yes, and I should say credit to BuzzFeed for breaking this, but I was able to confirm it for us at Politico. You know, the department's official line is, yes, it was used from Forbes data and other sources, but the truth is it corresponds exactly with the Forbes list. To be clear, though, Treasury says this is the unclassified version of the list, and we can't discuss the classified one. But the unclassified one is all the general public has.
All right, Alana Shore, we're going to let you run. People may have noticed with all of the controversy and debate over Russian meddling in the election, Russian interference in the Russia investigation, the president of the United States didn't mention it once in his long speech last night.
Absolutely. And that left some Democrats who talked to me afterwards raising their eyebrows and scratching their heads yet again. It's becoming a frequent routine for them.
Alana Shore, congressional reporter for Politico. Alana, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.